jump, 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 jump. I said a hip hop, the hibbit of a hip, hip hop, you don't stop. Rap, rap, rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle out.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Commissioner Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's the end of the week. It's our last half hour. That means that it's time to talk with a couple of, well, in one case, an old friend. You're not that old, Craig, but, you know, we've known each other a while. And a new friend. So we have Craig Hinesman. He is the community outreach pastor at Marcus Point Baptist Church. I get it right?
That's right.
Oh, outstanding. Your pastor liked my Easter post.
Hey, look at that.
I know. I felt like such a celebrity. It was so great. and then we also have Ashley Hoffberger. She is a candidate for District 4 County Commissioner and the owner of The Washroom, which people may or may not know. It's not a series of bathrooms. It is a series of
high-end laundromats.
What is a high-end laundromat?
Great question. So it's super nice. Everything is app-operated, so you can literally start the washers from your phone, or you can bring quarters like you did in the 90s if you want to keep up with that type of thing. And then all of the furniture is very comfortable. It's not the old gel or airport furniture that you're used to seeing. And then at our university location, we have a cafe and a lounge area with beanbags in it.
So it takes a very unpleasant menial must-do task for people who don't have their own and turns it into something like an event.
Yes, absolutely. And that's actually our slogan. We're doing laundry is not a chore.
Oh, do you ever have bands?
No, but that's a great idea.
See? You know,
yeah,
maybe
I like
so.
That.
I would love to do a gig there. That would be
oh,
awesome.
Oh, that'd be great.
But can you play the washboard?
You
can. Oh. I bet you could add that in. You could add that in. Right?
And do you do like delivery, pickup, that kind of thing too?
We do, absolutely. So I've referred to it as the laundry fairy. So you can just put your laundry on the front porch in a bag, and then the next day it comes back all nice and folded, and you just put it away.
It's like a Uber irons or something.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's great.
On demand.
So I think the story that's happened, God, we have so much. It's been a news avalanche. It really has been so much stuff.
News avalanche.
I don't even know where to start. What's your take on the Pam Childers ICMA retirement account thing, Craig? I mean, I know you've heard me talk about this a bunch.
Oh, yeah.
We just had Pam on last hour. She's now come publicly and said, now that I've won and you've lost, you need to pay back all of this money. Let's get it back into the county's hands, and then we'll see where the Florida Retirement Service system goes with this. And, you know, probably ought to go into those accounts eventually. But first, you need to pay back the money.
No, and I understand that. I think having to figure out how to make that happen? Do you pull it out of the account? Do you close the accounts?
I mean, she says, yeah, close the accounts, zero it out, and give me the money. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand not being aware of how to invest in this, that, and the other, and what the options are and are not. And I think the whole thing is kind of just crazy. The whole scenario,
all the drama of it. Yeah,
the drama is kind of over the top. But if it's been found to be illegal, let's set it right. Get everybody where they needed to be and get them in the FR system like they should have been in the first place.
And she said, when I talked to her last hour, I had forgotten this, but she says that one of the commissioners had said previously, if it's illegal, we'll give the money back. So, and I don't remember them saying that. It seemed vaguely familiar. And I'm sure she's right that they did say that. I just didn't remember it. And I mean, if that's true, then, you know, case closed, I would think. Ashley?
Absolutely agree. I feel like once the court has decided, hey, this is the direction we need to move, then as, you know, responsible citizens, we need to move that direction and correct whatever we did wrong.
Right. I mean, it's not repentance and an apology if you don't do something to make up for it, right?
Sure. And even if you didn't know it was something that you were doing necessarily wrong,
right,
it was found to be, so let's make it right.
Yeah. And it seems like the best end result here would be the money that's in the ICMA now, the local plan, whatever you want to call it, the 401A, comes back, goes to FRS, assuming that they can find a way legally to make that happen.
Correct.
The commissioners will still, I assume, we'll still get their slice of the retirement. The fund will get its slice of it, and, you know, we can move on, we hope. So at least that seems like the most logical plan. I had initially thought that, you know, they shouldn't get anything for retirement out of it because they took this gamble, caused all this trouble, and wouldn't back down when challenged on it. I could probably be talked into that makes the more sense option, too. I mean, I don't know that they should lose the retirement that they are entitled to if they had been in that system.
Well, that's what I was saying. If you're already in the system and we found that this was not a legal way to do it, or the best way to do it. Now we have the actual way you should have done it in the first place. It's still an earned retirement income. It's still part of the package they were given when they came on board. So get that, let them have that, and correct the problem.
I think what bothers me about that outcome, though, is there's no penalty for all of this crazy, selfish drama that we've been going through for years over this thing. And I want there to be a penalty. Otherwise, what lesson was learned? We can try this whenever we like. And if we get caught, we don't even get a hand slap. It's just a bad for you. Fix it.
I don't think it was malicious the way that they took the money. I think it was just the way that they interpreted the contract and the rules. Mm-hmm. So I like we said, once the judge has decided, hey, this is the correct interpretation of the contract, then we need to follow that. So I don't think they should lose anything that they were owed, but we do need to set it.
Well, yeah, and if return on investment is so much less than, you know, what they would have gotten under the current plan, then there is some penalty to that. To
I guess I'm a little bit of the mind that it's not so much when they made the initial option to be in, but they did, which Bender did at first, and then May and Barry followed later when they found out how much money he was making and were amazed by it. And then they tried the back cash grab, right? Like they tried to get paid back for the prior, which
right.
That was really, really bad. They never voted on it, though. And I guess they made the choice to keep going with this and to defend it and to litigate it and to... it seems like there needs to be some kind of consequence for that. Maybe that's what voting is for. I don't know. Maybe that's what elections are for, you know?
I mean, that would definitely say that we can see that even at the presidential level. You have to say...
At some point, it's the voters who hold you
the
accountable.
The voters are the ones who are going to hold you accountable.
No, that's
absolutely.
That's fair. We had a student apparently bring a gun to C.A. Weiss. A week or two ago, we had a student bring a gun to Gulf Breeze High School. And also, in that time, we've had the Escambia County Schools roll out their new... you know, light touch gun and vape detectors that you walk through and it just sends off a nice innocuous, you know, that you violated.
Right,
and
right.
I made the case the other day. I said, I get it. I get safety. I'm a parent. I certainly understand wanting to keep the school safe. But I also think that when we tell all the kids that we cannot trust them, that they're basically animals and we got to treat them like that. And we put metal detectors like, you know, bars on the windows, and metal detectors going into the classrooms, that we're sending a message to, and that trust is a fragile thing and belief and faith is a fragile thing. And I just want people to be, I wanted them to take that seriously. I'm not against these things, but I wanted them to take that seriously. And it does concern me that we're continuously telling kids, you know, you're so bad that you can't do the things that we expect you to do. Ashley, thoughts?
Well, it's sad. It is absolutely sad. But the harsh reality is it is happening, and we have to do what we can to keep our kids safe and to prevent that. And I think educating our kids on why we're doing that and what the safety measures are is really, really important as well. I mean, we have to go through it when we go to the airport. We have to go through it when we go to the courthouse. And
but don't you feel like they're telling you you're a criminal when that happens?
Oh, I hate going through TSA. It gives me anxiety before I even get to the gate.
Right.
I don't enjoy it. But I do respect the fact that it is in place to keep me safe when I'm at the airport.
I'm only, you know, feeling like a criminal when I get, you know, hey, you come
touched
to the side over here, and now we gotta, you know, do the full pat down.
Right.
No, and it really. I feel
like they treat me as a criminal when I go through a grocery store and they want to inspect my receipt. Y'all can't even pay for checkers, and
Sam's
I got to do
Club,
that work, and now you got to check
yeah.
me that I'm leaving. Come
yeah.
on now.
I can understand that. I think that, you know, much to Ashley's point, I think you have to keep kids safe. I, as a youth pastor for almost 20 some odd years, I trust every teenager about 50% of the time. That's it. I won't give them any more than that.
Yeah, that's right.
Because, you know, the brain doesn't, they're not thinking clearly.
Right.
They're not, and kids are kids. We don't know why this kid brought the gun to C.A. Weiss. You know, we understand that there were some issues with the kid at Gulf Breeze. We understand that the mom's been arrested in that. And there
right,
have been all
right.
kinds of other issues there. I definitely think we have to get a handle on this before
you
got to
stop hitting the
problem.
Table with your fingers.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Feel like it's a
podium
mental
pounding.
Health.
Podium pounding, is that what it is? I'm
it
sorry.
Comes over the radio. Yeah,
I feel
oh,
like
so
it's
sorry.
A mental health thing too, right? So what is obviously bringing a gun to school is not okay, but what is the reasoning
right,
behind
right.
that?
Yeah.
What does your home life look like? And are we doing what we need to do to protect the mental health of our kids? And are we advocating for that?
You know, and it occurs to me, I tend to fixate on the gun slice of this problem, the weapon slice,
right?
right. But if it also does detect, I don't know, let's say 90% of vape pens, okay? There are so many.
The vape things.
That if that actually works, that's actually the more important part of this technology, it seems to me.
I would agree. Have you seen like popcorn lung or this cauliflower lung thing that happens with vapes now?
No.
Oh, it's absolutely horrendous. What can happen to the lungs with the chemicals that are in there? And I was a 13-year-old in our community that is now dealing with forever changed capacity in their lungs because of vapes. And so that's just another piece of the pie. Obviously, we have to be able to trust parents to go through and search. But even with my kid, I don't Listen, he has no privacy. I get to search his room. I get to do whatever.
That's right.
Because I
get on that phone, kids are get on do that it. Laptop, on the, do what you need to do.
Absolutely, because
that's
kids
right.
are going to do what they're going to do. And even the quote-unquote best kids, and that's a cool, one of the things is that C.A. Weiss and Gulf Breeze, they're not bad schools. I mean, those are great schools. C.A. Weiss is a community school. It's got all kinds of resources available.
They've done
it's
amazing like, things in the last few years. Absolutely. Yeah. I know some people teach there. Yeah, it's a great school.
Yeah, it's an incredible school. So we're not talking about, like, troubled schools. These are, you know, top-tier schools in our community that are having issues with kids, you know, that are making poor decisions.
Right. this other story that has really caught my attention, we've been talking about all the Escambia County things, and it's, you know, as I've been saying this morning, we're 0 for 4. The county is 0 for 4. The county commissioners, the three of them that make most of these decisions are 0 for 4. And the 0 for 4 now is with the medical examiner. Deanna Oleski, you know, there was this allegation made by the funeral directors, and Stephen Berry was involved in bringing that. However you want to style his involvement, he was involved, okay? And she says, no, that's all false. The allegations are false. The medical examiner's board and FDLE investigated different slices of the issue. The medical examiner's board says, we find no evidence to proceed with any kind of a complaint here. FDLE investigated one of the claims that would have involved a crime if it had been true, the mistreatment of a body. And they find nothing to proceed. In fact, there's a photo of the body leaving that is in good shape. And then somehow or other, a relative says they saw a body in terrible shape and they were the ones who made the complaint. Did they lie? Did the funeral home do something after it left the medical examiner's? We don't really know. You know, there's serious allegations behind the possibility that something happened after it left the office. So, but that's another, you know, case that, look, that's Escambia County's in trouble in that case, the Raplevin with the text messages, the Pam Childers with the ICMA, and I feel like I'm forgetting one because there's so many of them in the last week or so, but it seems like we need to make better decisions, especially about when and when not to engage in lawsuits.
Yeah, there's several lawsuits on the table, if you want to phrase it that way, that are costing the county money, and I think as a group, we need to look at, okay, what are our priorities and how do we move forward together and how do we spend our taxpayers' dollars in a responsible way and really focus on rallying around a vision together and making sure that we're not just moving forward as this district or that district, but we're moving forward not just as a county but as a community and doing what's best. And lawsuits is probably not the best spend of our taxpayers' dollars.
I forgot the fourth one. It's the Ramey Edler case where they voted yesterday to spend, insurance money, but to settle that $950,000.
Yeah,
and that's not even the end of that lawsuit because there's still the whole issue about false claims there. Yeah, that's a 0 for 4 over the course of the week.
I think when you get into lawsuits, it's such a tricky subject because sometimes there's actual damage done, and so you have to repair that damage. So mm-hmm. The question is, how do you keep from having those things happen on the front end? We want to save the taxpayers' money. Let's not make unwise decisions or allegations without making sure that everything is lined up factually, that we can make the case. And we can see that, obviously, not just in our community. The Days of Our Milton. We're going through the
same.
Yeah,
no,
you know,
that's
I mean,
right.
It's something that's now happening. I feel like it's happening even on a national level. We're just throwing out allegations and we're just saying whatever, and that without any kind of factual backup for that, and it grabs a headline and somebody runs with it on social media, and all of a sudden now we've got this massive problem.
Yeah, I feel like as a whole, frivolous lawsuits are coming left and right, and I don't know who's pushing that, if it's just like this generation's like, I'm just going to sue and do this, or if the attorneys are pushing that, but there's unintended consequences for that, and there are attorney fees, and it ties up the courts. And
right.
If we're going to tie up the courts, we need to make sure that it's something valid.
And in some of these cases, you know, somebody might say, well, maybe the county needs a new attorney. You know, Allison Rogers is the attorney for quite a long time. Yeah, but there were a lot of times when the commissioners really pushed her in ways that you could tell she was reluctant to do it, too. So I don't,
sure.
You know, maybe that's something people think. But I also know there's been cases where she was kind of telling them don't do this. like the Raplevin one, where she wasn't even the lawyer of record on the case. Like, you know, right. She's clearly saying that this is not a good idea. You guys shouldn't engage in this. Something else that we've been talking about just a little bit is earlier this week, we got three big rulings on Monday from the Florida State Supreme Court. They allowed us to have the abortion referendum that would allow abortion on demand for any reason up to 24 weeks and with a doctor's note basically thereafter up to the time of birth. Recreational marijuana is going to be on the ballot, both with 60% if they pass, and They upheld the abortion law that the Privacy Amendment doesn't invalidate that. So we're at 15 weeks. We have been, and it'll go to six weeks of term in about 3 weeks. I think that'll become effective. Again, this week has been a lot. Let's talk about the abortion vote referendum. Suddenly, Florida might be an interesting place, right? We thought we were a solid red state. We're going to go red, and that's going to be the end of it. That could change a lot of the voting this fall, right?
It's definitely going to bring out both sides of the issue, I believe. I think you're going to have folks that are on the pro-life side and the pro-choice side that are definitely going to come to the polls now, maybe that weren't going to come ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So does it tighten the race? Certainly, it probably is going to tighten it a little bit. I don't think, given the way that the state turned in the midterms and what we saw, I don't see it going blue or even close to purple. It's going to get maybe a lighter shade of red, but not or darker shade of red, I guess would be the case there, but not.
No, you had it right. Lighter red,
whatever, mm-hmm. Mauve. But I don't know that it's going to go.
It's going to be a mauve state.
It's going to go purple. But it's just, it's now because of this ruling, we have to get the information out there.
Yep.
Just talking with my kids the other day, of course, I am staunchly pro-life. I have been since we lost our first child. And if you've experienced a miscarriage, you can't imagine doing it intentionally. You just really can't. And I understand that there are situations and there are women out there that are suffering. And I get, trust me, I understand. But when I look at it, I tell my kids, listen, do you think it's okay to kill a child up to the time it's born? Period. Okay, if you say no to that, you have to vote no on this amendment. As long as it's clear, that's, we got to get that thing out of the way, because that's what it allows. It will allow, with a doctor's permission,
with
to kill a child
right
before it's born. And that's absolutely insane to me.
It's, you know, when Roe was in place, I think weirdly it was mostly pro-lifers who talked and thought a lot about abortion, and everybody else, it was kind of background. And now with the ruling and all of the amendment that's going to be up for a vote, it's almost like we're all of a sudden having to really think and talk and argue about something that an awful lot of Americans would just rather ignore. Whatever your view is, we would just rather not talk, because it's a very unpleasant thing to think about.
Well, and I think there needs to be some education around that. I am pro-life. My little girl's adopted. And if her mom would not have made the decision to keep her, I wouldn't have her. And she is just such a blessing to us. So that is something that is very near and dear to my heart. And as far as the privacy issue goes, I do think that you should have to have a police report, and that whoever did that atrocity should be held accountable. Mm-hmm. I think it's extremely sexist for our society to say, hey, you're a girl, you just go have an abortion and everything will be fine. And whoever did that to you gets to walk away with no repercussions.
And you deal with it. You deal
and
with
you
the emotional
deal with it
issues
by yourself.
And all that stuff.
Right. And that's just terrible for females. And that's what we're telling them to do. And they have no support.
And just in terms of like parallel structure, if she decides to keep, there can be great obligations on the man.
Absolutely.
So there should be, I mean, you know, the idea that he can escape that or be not held responsible. I agree. You know, these are big inequities, I think.
Well, and I think going back to your point of us having to talk about it now, which I think is the great idea of states' rights. I think that we having to go and think through uncomfortable scenarios now is absolutely a must.
Yeah,
we were watching some new series.
You said to the logic teacher.
Yeah. Well, so we were watching some new series on Hulu last night. My daughter really wanted to watch it. She's a huge World War II buff, and it's about the Holocaust in Poland. And, and I can't remember the name of the show, but I'm watching it, and it's so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Just the hatred, to watch as these Jews were taken from their homes, and they're given these. I'm like, I don't want to watch this. This is not entertaining. I feel
icky,
horrible.
Yeah.
By knowing that the humanity has put people through this, but that's what we have to do.
That's like, I know we don't have time to get into it, but the teaching of the hate word, slur word, we talked about that this week. Discomfort is one of the important things in a good education. You got to learn how to grapple with this stuff. Ashley Hoffberger, Craig Heinzman, great conversation. Thank you for the time.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3.